I'm reading and you're hearing from John, the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." And then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Question: are you doing God's work? The lesson this evening hour is in response to a note that was handed to me several weeks ago with two questions: what is the will of God, and what is the work of God? I want to tell you, first of all, that I both appreciate and encourage your questions and your sermon suggestions. I have to tell you, I may not always preach them. I have to tell you that I may not always be able to answer the questions that you have in mind. But I'll always try. So again, the question that I have just asked you is, are you doing God's work? I think that there are some of our religious friends, when we even mention the subject of doing the will of God or doing the work that God has given to us, they immediately rebel. And the thought that they apparently have is, it is nonsense to talk about work in religion. So we simply ask then, what does the text mean? What would have prompted these Jews to ask Jesus, what are we to do in order that we may work the works of God? And why would Jesus respond in the way that he did by saying, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent? So evidently, in our investigation of the Bible this evening, we need to ask ourselves, well, what does all of this mean? What does it mean to do the will of God? What does it mean to do the work that God has given us to do? And I think if we stop and analyze the question, we actually realize that at the very basis of these two questions is having to do with our relationship with God. What relationship does man sustain to God? Both the Old and the New Testament scriptures answer this question by first of all telling us man is responsible to God. The very basis of religion, the very basis of understanding man doing things that would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father, all rest upon this basic precept. Man is responsible. Man is responsible to God. God has always given man work to do from the very beginning. That applies to the first man and the first woman. God gave them work to do. It was work that God himself had determined that man is to do. Undoubtedly, Jesus, the Christ, is our prime example of doing the work that God has given us to do. In this very chapter, in John chapter 6 and verse 38, Jesus just very simply says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Without a shadow of a doubt, then, we're going to have to say, when we are investigating the will of God for us, the work that we are to do, we're going to be able to look to Jesus. And as much as possible, we need to have the same attitude as is expressed by Jesus our Lord. We are not here on earth then just to satisfy ourselves. It should not be our attitude when we even make the inquiry, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" that we would include in that, "Well, I just want to do the things that I like. Things that you ask me to do that are displeasing to me, I really don't want to do that." Or if it should be as I go through the Bible and I examine all of the responsibilities that God has given to mankind one time or another, that I go through with the idea of yes or no. "Oh God, I love that work that you've given me to do, but you know this work over here, that's distasteful to me." You remember Jonah had that very attitude? He said, "Oh God, I know what you want me to do. I know you want me to go to all of the trouble and all of the travel to go to Nineveh and to preach to those people, but I don't want to do that." And so he ran away from God, or at least he thought that's what he was doing. Well, the will of God for us, the work that God has given us to do, we dare not try to run away from him. We dare not try to say, "Well, I can understand why I should do this work or this will of God, but you know, I've looked at it and I've said, Lord, that's very displeasing to me. And don't you know that's going to require a lot of effort on my part? And it may cost me friends. And it may cost me money. And oh, the list can just go on and on in that way." To be more specific at this point in our lesson, I want us to notice from our text here in John chapter 6 that the work of God is spiritual. It is spiritual. Jesus had just got through feeding the 5,000. And he and the disciples had come back to the city of Capernaum, and all of a sudden, he had a lot of folks that wanted to be his followers. But Jesus said, "You're not seeking me for the right purpose. You're seeking me for the food that perishes." And he is going to say, in effect, "Don't seek me for what you can get out of me materially." Do you know some folks that are doing that today? I think I do. I think I do. A number of years ago, I and a friend of mine heard a preacher preaching on the radio. And what he was preaching was error. And so we went to visit that man who lived in a nearby town. And we said, in effect, we've come to study with you. And the things you are teaching, that are contrary to God. And the man, we thought very, very humbly and very, very sincerely, we were actually impressed with him. Well, he said, "You know, I left one denomination because I was convinced that what they were teaching was wrong. And if you can just show me that what I am preaching now is wrong, well, then I'll give that up. Isn't that a wonderful attitude? We were just filled with delight. And so we said, all right, we'll come back and see you on a certain day next week. Yes, that will be good. We came back to his house. We knocked on the door. You know what? He sent his little girl to the door. She said, I'm sorry, my daddy is busy and he cannot talk with you. One fella just told me flat out, I can't preach those things because I would lose my salary. Every bit of the work that the Lord gives us to do is spiritual. Don't labor for the food that perishes. Rather than that, labor for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. That's it. The work that we're talking about. When we even use this phrase, doing the will of God, doing the work of God, that's what we're talking about. The spiritual things that God commands us to do. Now, we've already indicated that God commands obedience on our part. Maybe the familiar scripture that we use so often that we find in the closing verses of the book of Ecclesiastes are applicable to us tonight, because we realize in our study of Ecclesiastes that we had, well, Solomon just tried everything, didn't he? He had riches. He had great wisdom. Oh, you review again the book of Ecclesiastes. He built houses. He had fields. He had brooks. He had men servants and maid servants. He had singers. And yet, at the end of each one of those things, he said, all of that is emptiness. All of that is vanity. And finally, then, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the entire matter, of what life is all about. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I wonder if we can't then, in our thinking about our life's purpose, be able to simplify it in the way that Solomon does here. What is my life all about? Well, it's not to do my own will. It is to love, to serve God with all of my being. How about little Samuel? Now, I don't know what Samuel's age was there, as it's recorded in 1 Samuel 3. But you recall the incident. Here is God. He is calling Samuel. And Eli finally said to Samuel, whenever the Lord speaks to you, you say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's what we're talking about tonight. Whenever we investigate the Word of God, and we should all be doing that, we should all be trying to figure out, what is God's will for me? What is the work that God wants me to do? We should have that same attitude that Solomon has. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Well, in the very beginning, And this is indeed a surprise to so many of our good religious friends. To do the will of God in our lives means that we become a Christian. That has to be the beginning point. There's no good in our discussing the work of the Holy Spirit or what the book of Daniel or what the book of Revelation is teaching unless, first of all, we are willing to be obedient to Jesus. Notice what our Lord says here to these people who were supposed to know the will of God. What must we do that we might work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Why, whenever we talk with so many of our religious neighbors, they say, if you want to become a Christian, all you have to do is believe in Jesus, but don't try to do any work. I wonder if they've ever read John chapter 6. Don't do any work. Well, the work the Bible is talking about is obedience to God. It is following Jesus Christ. If you want to do the work that God has given to you, you've got to believe without reservation, without hesitation, without trying to compromise in any way, Jesus is the Son of God. Now, what does that include? Oh, again, we find there are people that say, oh, I'm willing to believe that. I'm willing to believe that. Well, are you willing to believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? Oh, well, I'm not so sure. You know, that's pretty far-fetched to think that there could be a virgin birth. Well, do you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead? Oh, wow. We don't have anything like that going on, do we? Well, yes. If you're going to believe in Christ, what does that mean? It means you have to believe every single thing that Christ and the writers of the New Testament recorded. Repentance. What is that? Oh, that's a work that Jesus commanded. He said to the 12 in Luke, the 24th chapter, he said, and that repentance for the remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. And whenever we come to Paul's preaching to the people in the city of Athens that they would do the will of God, he said, the time of this ignorance God overlooked. Our old King James says, God winked at it. But He now commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. Well, when an individual is asking, what must I do that I might work the works of God? That means he has to turn away from every sin. Peter in Acts chapter 3 said, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. A person that says, I want to do the work of God, but you know there are some things I'm not ready to repent of yet. Well, that person is not in any position to do the work of God, to carry out the will of God. That means you have to unreservedly repent of every transgression, of every disobedience. You can't compromise with God. You can't say, Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll make a bargain with you. That's not doing the will of God. Our dear relatives, friends, religious people everywhere, when we say, What must you do to do the will of God? Oh, far too often they will say, well, you just feel in your heart, and everything is going to be all right. You ask your friends, what must I do to be saved? Many of them do not have the slightest idea. You say, what about baptism? Oh, they say, that's a work. Now, where did they find that they could divide the commandments of God that way? Without a hesitation, I say, yes, it is a work. It is a work of obedience. Notice the way that Jesus taught us that Bible baptism is from heaven itself. You remember how Jesus put the scribes and the Pharisees on the spot when he talked to them about John's baptism. They asked him, by what authority are you doing these things? Jesus said, I'll ask you a question. If you answer it, then I'll tell you by what authority I'm doing what I'm doing. The baptism of John, is it from heaven or from men? Boy, those fellows were between a rock and a hard place, weren't they? Because they said, if we say from heaven, then the people will say, well, why didn't you follow John? Why weren't you baptized of John? But they say, if we say from men, all of the people will stone us. So they said to our Lord, we can't tell you. You know what that is? That's not just fibbing. That's a big old lie. That's a big old lie. That's what that is. And whenever you ask your friends today, where did baptism come from? I don't know whether you know this or not. Some of our brethren one time questioned Billy Graham about his preaching. They said, Billy, do you ever preach baptism for the remission of sins? You know what Billy's answer was? He said, I know you folks, you're from the Church of Christ, aren't you? Don't you think Billy knows Acts 2 and verse 38 just as well as we do? And our religious friends do too. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you know what that phrase means? In the name of Jesus Christ. That means he authorized it. To further back it up, in Matthew's account of the commission, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teach every creature. And then he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know the Church of Christ did not originate baptism? Did you know that? Where did baptism come from? From heaven or from me? How dare any preacher, any priest, any church member say, I want to do the will of God, but you know I don't have to be baptized. Well, as I look out over the audience, I think, not counting the babies, that every one of us have done the will of God in that regard. Isn't that wonderful? That's so wonderful. But I'll tell you what, dear friends, whenever you say, what must I do that I might do the will of God? You cannot fold your arms now and look back on what you've already done and say, well, that's it. That's it. You're just a baby. whenever you come up out of the waters of baptism, that's all you are. You're just a baby. And so he says, as newborn babes, earnestly desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Do you know that preachers did not originate Bible study? Do you know that elders did not originate that? That's the work God has given you to do. And it is a spiritual work that is to take precedent, first of all, over every other study. The Christian that says, you know, I come home tired and I don't have time during the week to study the Bible. Do you know what they're really saying? This physical work that I'm doing for physical bread, that's more important than my doing the work that God has given me to. The parable of the vineyard. What do you suppose that's teaching you? Well, it is true. It is teaching that we're all going to receive the same wonderful reward of heaven. But you know, it teaches us there's work to be done. There's work to be done in the vineyard. And so whenever we carry out all of the commandments that God has given us to do, whenever we're studying, whenever we're worshiping, whenever we're teaching and helping others, what is that marvelous work? Oh, that's the work of God. And there's no greater work on earth. It's not just set aside for a few. It is something that every Christian is to realize. Whenever you say, what work has God given me to do? You're to answer, everything that He commands the Christian to do. That's my work. Do you ever get tired at work? You say, yes, Gene. Sometimes I just come home very, very tired. Do you ever wear yourself out in the vineyard of the Lord? First of all, going back to Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, he says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. But then in the Galatian letter, Paul says to those brethren in Galatians 6, he said, and let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not, if we don't grow weary. Don't grow weary in doing the will of God. There's no retirement in Christianity that I know of. I might say to you, hey, don't you know I'm over 78 years old now? And don't you know then that I can retire pretty soon? Why? As long as we're here on earth. There's no retirement as far as doing the will of God. All right, now quickly. What happy result is there whenever you say, I'm going to look in the Bible and I'm going to find out the will of God and the work that God has given me to do, and I'm going to do it with all of my might. What happy result? Well, first of all, you have the wonderful assurance that you really and truly are showing God that you love Him. It's easy to say honk your horn if you love Jesus, isn't it? Or blink your lights, or stand up and say hallelujah, amen. But you know, it's a little bit more involved. Whenever we say, well, everything that God commands me to be as a young person, as a woman, as a man. Everything God commands of us as the church, well, that's what we're to do, in order that we may indeed prove our love for God. 1 John 3, verse 4. For this is the love of God, that we do His commandments. There's no child that has ever demonstrated their love for their parents by disobedience. The child that says, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do, Mama, but I really love you. Oh, that's when you really do want to slap their face, don't you? All right. Well, how do we show our love for God and our wonderful love for the Savior who died for us? Why, by doing the work that they have given us to do. Saving yourself and others. There are not going to be any disobedient people in heaven. Not a single one. Paul writes a wonderful letter to Timothy. He tells Timothy how he is to be a busy student of the Word of God, how he is to preach, to reprove, rebuke, and exhort, how he is to keep himself pure, how he is to exhort others. And after he has said all of that, he finally says to Timothy, take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in taking heed to yourself and to your teaching. For in so doing, you will both save yourself and them that hear you. How are we to be saved? Well, we've got to teach God's Word. Teach it privately, teach it publicly, teach in whatever skill and capacity that you have. Do you know who to teach, first of all? Yourself. Yourself. Teaching the Bible is not about winning an argument. It's not about winning a debate. Teaching the Word of God is the work God has given us to do. But we have to teach ourselves to take heed to your actions. Do you teach one thing and practice something else? Do you tell people the church is the most important institution on earth and yet act like a football game or a baseball game or some sporting event is more important? Well, we can't do that. What is the most important thing? Seeking the kingdom of God first and His righteousness. What if we do that? Oh, we will save ourselves and those that hear. We've already touched on this. Jesus said, I did not come down to do my will, but the will of Him that sent me. And do you know when He was completing that? You remember He hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. I have finished the work that you've given me to do. When will we be finished with God's work? At the end of our life? at the end of our life. Paul said, "There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me in the last day, and not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing." Is Jesus going to come tonight? Is he going to come this week? Maybe so. We just don't know. But we are to look forward to the time when our Lord comes. And we are to look forward to the time when we can say, as we lay down all of our labors, "It is finished. I have accomplished the work that you've given me to do." Let's be sure.